I'm not yelling at you. Don't touch me.
What is that?
That's you. You're on the mic. You're on the mic. Coming through in here. The show's on. Show's on.
You pissed?
Okay. Start the show.
Okay, we're Among the Realms Radio, and this is Jackie.
Charlie.
Benny.
Dana.
Mercedes.
And we're talking about Ghost Hunting 101 tonight. So we're also Equipped East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. And we're going to do a little bit of 101 on ghost hunting and talk about some hauntings, the types of hauntings, some tips and procedures. We're going to talk about some of the equipment that's used and also the spiritual side or the, you know, how to work with psychics or mediums, that type of thing. So we're broadcasting from Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey. And like I said earlier, we're also the home of Equipped Paranormal Investigators. So if you need an investigation, they're free of charge. So first we're going to talk about types of hauntings. And the first thing is the intelligent haunt. This is the haunt that interacts with us. And they're able to usually communicate in a certain way or move objects. That type of thing. That is the most common haunt that we come across. One that is able to let us know they're there or wants to talk to us or that we'll pick up an EVP on, that type of thing.
Which is a voice recording.
Yes, the EVP, which we'll get into more with the equipment, but that's any type of voice we get from the other side that we pick up on our little bitty voice recorder or the video camera. And it's also, it could be disembodied or it could be, we do pick up residual, which is the next haunt that I'm going to talk about. The residual haunt is one that's kind of connected to wherever we are, whether it be the location or the property. And that's almost, it's an imprint in time, that one. So that would, an example would be if you hear music all the time at the same time of day or if you hear footsteps at the same time of day. That's something that plays over and over and over like a record, and that would be considered a residual haunt. They don't know that we're there. We can't communicate with them because it's just something that was, that's kind of just, you know, not that the spirit's stuck there, but the imprint of that.
You think it's like energy absorbed into the material of the building or the place?
Yep. I think it's exactly that. It's just an imprint of that energy that was there, like just an imprint in time. And
Can you get rid of it?
No. Residual haunts are always there. Yeah. That,
you can't
that.
Feed it away or drink scotch where it's not there.
Or where there'll be more.
There might be more. Very cool.
And then there's a few others. Another familiar one that people are with the movie is the poltergeist, which is considered the, you know, the haunt that's mischievous or most disturbing in an annoying way, that kind of thing. And they usually do come through somebody who is going through a difficult time or is, you know, adolescent. So not just females that might, you know, cause this one to come about, but that's usually around some type of energy that's in the house that's not so happy or it's difficult. And they are a little bit more boisterous. So they can move things sometimes.
Destructive.
Yes. They pile things. They can move people, like that type of thing. So they're a little bit more stronger. And the last one, which not everybody believes in, but and we try not to have a name for it, but it's the demon type, the more evil type, which are ones that they usually come with something really, really forceful or destructive or evil. And there's usually, like, foul smells with them and a lot of destruction. They're known to kind of be able to go back and forth quickly. And obviously that, I guess an example of that one would be the Amityville Horror. You know, something like that. There's usually some type of evil around that. And we've had pretty much, I think, a little bit of each of those hauntings at some point. But the intelligent ones, I think, are the ones we've met with the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys, do you think there's one in particular we've had that you thought was more interactive than others?
Well, we had the one with Lewis Point.
Oh, George, right?
George.
Was that, oh no, was it George? Or was it Harry?
Harry.
Harry.
That's the one.
Yeah, George is here in the store.
We were actually communicating with him, and the K2 was going on, and that was pretty interesting, but George would, I mean, Harry would be considered a poltergeist type?
An intelligent haunt.
Okay.
Because he communicates, and they can move things, like, up to about 10 pounds also, but they're more, like, I want to say friendlier, and, you know, they'll go back and forth and just be communicating back and forth, which I intend on being an intelligent haunt when I pass.
Yeah. My wife is hoping I'll be an intelligent something when I pass. But let me ask you something. So if, let's say, Harry was not as nice as he was, okay,
mm-hmm.
would that make a demon like his big brother? What I'm trying
no.
to say is, somebody once said that spirits can be, you know, different things, intelligent, whatever, but a demon, they say, never had a human form. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so it's got nothing to do with us.
No, but
totally
usually
different.
What people do say is when there is a more negative spirit that they can kind of, they feel that they can somewhat control other spirits, or that their energy can. And I think for other people, it just depends on how they feel about that. Because for me, there's a lot of times when we go in, and even when we're communicating with something, where they're on different planes. They don't even know the other one is there. So, you know, we've had, one or two where we've had the really more negative ones, but we've had the other ones come in.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was a more negative one there as well.
I don't, have we had, can anybody remember us having the residual? I don't remember us having a residual.
Where we just were hearing footsteps or music or something.
Well, you know what, I'm sort of always thinking that we all seem to get a lot of orbs. And then there's the controversy with the orb photographs, which is little balls of light.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I've been reading about them and researching them and thinking about them, and I think that a lot of those are residual energy left in spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're just little pockets, little balls of energy that are still manifesting that are not necessarily, you know, I don't think they're haunting. I think they're just little blobs of energy. Leftover blobs of energy. Because we get so many of them in cemeteries, especially.
Yeah.
More there than, you know, here in the center we get a lot of them,
mm-hmm.
but because there's always a lot of activity here. But my feeling, unless you get the kind of orb that really zooms across the room and touches you on the head, or you can see that it's interacting with you.
Yeah,
most
or
of them
when, they're in each of the frame, when they're in a frame and not in a frame, and you know they've actually...
Well, they've reacted to me,
because
they've reacted to Mark. I mean, Mark is like... stirred up the pot a bit and they reacted. but for the most part, I think they're just sort of floating around in space here. I mean, I don't know if you, do you think that's kind of...
I think some of them, but I know that there's a lot of, you know, when there are a lot of spirit energy around, sometimes they're able to manifest enough that they're able to get enough energy to appear, and so the camera does pick that up.
Well, no,
I think that's true. I mean, I know, like, for myself, but I know that they're constantly around, like they're constantly walking around.
Right.
So I do feel there's the residual there too.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know there are ones, like I know when I did the Shanley Hotel that I did, there was residual because there was the same footsteps in the same place all the time. And that would be, you know, you hear it the same time of day or same time of night. And you know it's the same, and it's like that same pattern. So there are people, which I know there's people I've seen ghost hunters and things where they say, oh, we hear in the attic at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning we can hear some, like a ball bouncing, or we hear, and it's things like that. And a lot of times, those were either happy events. That's why a lot of people hear music and things. Maybe they had a party. So it was something that happened all the time there that was happy. And sometimes it is a traumatic event. Sometimes people, you know, smell smoke at a certain time, you know, because maybe there was a fire. So, you know, I don't think we have as many of them as we do with the ones that are communicating with us. Like, we seem to get investigations where it's more like that. You know, definitely.
Well, because we catch the EVP.
Yeah.
A lot of the EVPs.
Yep. Or they actually try to, you know, talk to us and give us information.
Yeah.
So some of the other things we want to mention is, since we're talking a lot about EVPs, is if you do get a little digital recorder, which you can get them in Walmart or you know, any store where they have the small voice recorders, you don't want to whisper when you're doing, you know, even if you're doing it in your house on your own or whatever, because it will taint the, you know, the evidence. You won't be able to distinguish between your whisper and if a spirit comes through. And that's one of the biggest things that we even grapple with, because when you're in the middle of the investigation and you're getting all excited, and sometimes we're like, did you hear that? And we all do it still. It's just something it's one of the biggest things is talking very quietly, but in a voice that you can understand.
Humor.
Yes. Not talking the whole time, so that if you're going to ask a question like, you know, how old are you, that you leave a little bit of a gap of, you know, 30 seconds or something so they can answer you and not, like, ask one question after another. You know, there's little things that we've learned that work better than others. Being really careful when you're opening your bags and stuff because you can hear it. You know, it's so loud on the voice recorder. It's great, you know. If you're walking, too, I know my recorder the one time was rubbing against my backpack, and it was like, shh, 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 like you couldn't hear anything. So, but anytime anybody's opening, if there's snaps, Velcro, and things like that, it's loud. So we tell everybody to, if they do something and they know it's a noise that they're not sure if they can identify, is to say, it's called tagging, and you just say, you know, I did that. Or if you sneeze, say, you know, Dana sneezed. Because if it was something from the other side, we wouldn't be able to know the difference. So little things like that. So what do you have, Tap, your little tips?
Would you think it would be a good idea for a ghost group to learn sign language?
I don't know if they'd be able to see it in the dark.
No, I don't mean like sign language, like, you know, the real sign language, but just like when we were in your house.
Yeah, like I was just going to say, like baseball?
You know, we're sitting there going.
Yeah, we do kind of have our own little.
You know, you can't see me on the radio, okay, but yeah. I'm shaking my head and I'm pointing my fingers at my ears and like, do you hear that? And we were nodding at each other and you could hear something.
Yep.
You could actually hear something. And then you sit there and, you know, you don't want to start talking because, like you said, you drown everything else out. But you do get excited. And these guys that are on TV, they get excited and run away like little girls. And, you know, what's the purpose of that? That's why you're there. You're not supposed to run. You're supposed to investigate. I just sit there and I say, we've done some pretty decent places. And, you know, when we did the one over in Branchville, and we're upstairs, and then we're on the regular floor, and then we're in the basement, and then you hear us talking, and nobody's talking, us talking.
Yeah, you just hear us talking.
And we're sitting there looking at each other like going,
and that was a conversation from, like, it was, what, 45 minutes to an hour before that?
Yeah, that was pretty scary. But then you sit there and you're like, what? What?
That's bizarre.
That was bizarre.
Because I actually came downstairs because I thought you were right outside my door.
Right.
But there was nobody there.
There was nobody there.
There was nobody.
And you know what? That sometimes, I think somebody said, when something like that happens, the spirit is actually trying to scare you into the fact of, get out of my area, get out of my territory. I don't want you here. See what I can do? This is you talking, and I'm doing it, you know? And you sit there and you're like, where'd this conversation come from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw my face change.
Yeah. You did that again, though, in the last one we did.
Well, yeah, you said it was your house.
Yep.
My face changed.
Yep. But there was something not so, there wasn't a very, one of the spirits upstairs was not very, was a grumpy, a disgruntled spirit.
Well, that was in Branchville.
At Branchville, yeah.
Well, knock you off your chair. knocked Ron over, and then thank you so much. You said, do something to Charlie. You've done something else.
I did.
But it wouldn't do anything to me.
No, but that's the one that called me a witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, you're a witch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting. And then when you guys took off downstairs and I had to wrap up all my wiring and stuff, remember I said, did I hear that so tough? And he said something to me like, oh, yeah? And I was...
Yeah, that one was that was very good.
That was interactive.
So I remember saying, well, thank, even though you weren't very nice, thanks for helping us. And he said, "You go." What was it? He said something like, oh, yeah, it was something not
something
nice.
Derogatory.
It was just like,
yeah.
Like, get out of here.
Yeah, get lost. Come on, get lost.
I don't care what you say. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say.
Yep. When you said, remember how hot it was up there? And you said, it's so hot I can't even breathe. And he said, who cares what you have to say?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it was. Who cares what you have to say? And when you hear it on the recording, you're like, ooh.
We've got to find those ones.
That was amazing.
That was an actual, that was a good.
That was amazing. That was a whole sentence.
Yeah, he was not a happy. He did not like us up there at all.
That was.
That one. We're due to go back, you know.
That'll be a good one, too.
One of our thieves.
Well, you know what? That was, the deal is that, you know, I never felt like we were threatened. I never felt like there's any situation like that. Again, I haven't been in a situation with a demon or anything like that. But Dave Giuliani says there, he says, you know, you don't go on those. He says, well, he has the class. And he actually, he's having a class this month and next month down at his place down there in Burlington or wherever. And he sat there and he says the first question he asks when he has a class like this is, how many want to actually go out and do an investigation with a demon? And he sits there and he goes, normally he gets 3/4 of the class to raise their hand. The other quarter, you know, they're too shy to raise their hand. Or they're too dumb. Or one or the other. But he sits there and he goes, how many want to do an investigation of a demon? And he says 3/4 of them raise their hand, and he says, okay, I'm going to hand out an address for all of you, and it's the psychiatric ward of such and such hospital, and this is the phone number, and this is who you're going to call, because obviously there's something wrong with you. This is what he says. And then he says, oh, they're calling us now from the psychiatric ward. But he sits there and he says, you know, the deal is that if you know that there's a demon in the place, he says, unless you've done it before and you have a lot of experience dealing with it, don't do it on your own or in your own little group unless you have somebody that's got a lot of experience, like him or the guy Schroeder, Reverend Schroeder out in Illinois. He does exorcisms too. And he sits there and he says he would love to come with us if we had one that he could go on, because he says, you know, timing and everything, the distance is a little tough for him. But Giuliani's down in Philadelphia. And he said, if you got something, let me know. But, I mean, it's, there are so many different levels, right, of what you can do. You know, you could go over to somebody's house and go, oh, we have a ghost, you know, and we don't want you to get rid of it because we're happy, we like it, it's you know, fills out our apartment or whatever.
We think it's family.
We think it's family. You know, it's nice. It's always fun to have around. You know, makes us feel comfort. And okay, that's one. Then you got the one that's constantly throwing things and knocking things down or something, like when we were up in Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Terrifying the children.
Terrifying the children. Yeah. I mean, when somebody sits there and says that their cat is constantly going nuts or their dog is going up to the door or a window or a mirror or something, you sit there and you say, okay, something's not right here. Something's not right. Or, supposing the person says to you, I have these dreams at night, and they're just like, and it's only when they're sleeping in a particular bed in the house. Anywhere else in the house, they're fine, but in that particular bed, who knows, there might be a portal there or something, but they have these strange dreams of somebody coming and, you know, dying or killing somebody and this and that, and you sit there and go, something's not right there. You know, something's not, maybe that person is feeling something. And then you go, you know, then you go to the far end with demons and coming through portals and all of that stuff. I mean,
I think there was a demon at that up by Three Mile Island that was coming through the mirrors.
The mirrors. Did you see the picture that Ron took?
I saw the picture, and he sent it to me, but the picture, each time he sent it, the picture would turn up blank. But I saw it in real time. So he's
Did you really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Because that was when I said to him, we were in that one hallway landing.
Yeah.
Where a woman was
burned. Where she
burned
to death in that little office there.
And there was the big stand-up mirror in the corner. And I said to Ron, I said, take some pictures of that mirror. And he goes, okay. Now, we're in the dark.
The three of you guys.
Yeah.
You,
and he goes, click, click, click. Well, click one and click three was picture of the mirror just in the dark. Click two looked like three shrunken heads or eight heads or something in it. And then he looks at it and he goes, look at this. He goes, look at this. And I looked at it and I said, so what does that tell you? And he sits there and he goes, well, I don't know, there's three heads there. I said, there's three of us here. These three represent us. What is, it's telling us something. And they were like shrunken heads. And I sat there, when I saw the picture, I was shocked.
It was a scary picture.
It was a scary picture. But
that's
I can't
one of the
believe
scariest pictures I've seen come out of this group ever.
That was something. And the room, the doorway, that was to your right when you were sitting there on the floor, to your right, that other room, you said something was in the doorway, but it wouldn't come in, remember?
Yep.
And it was that was an old place.
We got a lot of stuff in there.
But you also said that since they didn't cleanse the place after each group that had been
there
before,
they were just collecting.
They were bringing stuff with them.
You know what? It was things that were coming in where people were just
staying.
Well, it was a place that was advertising itself as a ghost hunting place, and so we had lots of groups coming through.
Right.
And we were sort of at the end of the season.
Yeah.
With the group.
We benefited. We really did because of what we found. I mean, it was just amazing. And some people, like the guys on from Central New Jersey Paranormal Investigations, who was it, Mike and Brian, they said they've been in some places just like that. And, I mean, they those guys are really, really good. And they sat there and they said, you know what, when you see it, when you see something like that, it changes your whole way of thinking. It's not the fact of, does it exist? Can we prove it? No, it's there. Now let me just get it on paper, get it on, you know. There's so many people that don't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
What? I don't get it.
I think they're afraid to. And I don't think there's people that, some people just don't want to believe there's life on the other side like that.
Well, people can't exist. That disrupts their whole belief system so much sometimes that they can't handle that.
Yeah, they'll be religious.
Huh?
They'll be religious and say, I'm going to heaven, but they won't believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't get that. You know?
So I think for those people, it's because they're told they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I don't like that answer.
And don't pick your nose because your nostrils will grow with the large orbs.
Come on,
don't make a face like that. It'll stay like that forever. You know, you remember what your mom used to tell you. Don't believe any of that. You know, nobody believes that stuff.
My mom believed in all this stuff, so my mom did tell me.
Well,
she had
baby Jesus in a little bingo chip box. I mean, I like her. That's all it was doing. But the idea here is that, you know, when you talk about the different energy, when you're saying fragments of energy, you, Vince, are unbelievable at getting orbs all over the freaking place. I don't know if you
and
attract them.
And ectoplasm and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you attract them or what. But when we're sitting there, and I'm taking pictures and I don't get anything, and you sit there and go, look at this. And I'm like, holy. I mean.
Seriously.
It's almost like you got to figure out this now. All spirits are our energy, right? That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? What kind of energy do you have? Positive and negative.
Yeah.
I would guess some people can attract according to what kind of energy they have, and some people can repel. Right?
Or attract negative.
One or the other.
If you're in a negative or low spot, you're totally going to get more of the lower energies, which is why we tell people when something's going on not to come on a ghost hunt.
Well,
because they are so vulnerable at taking whatever's their home, and no matter how much they protect themselves, there's going to be you know, a vulnerable spot on them.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're sick or, you know, you had a fight with somebody, you're depressed. Yeah, you have something going on. Totally, you know, the weak. I mean, we say that all the time.
Yeah. It's amazing to me the fact that, well, our group is very good, period, because of, I think, just the mix that we have of the people. But to see everybody's got a specific area, you know, like you're getting the orbs, right? You're reading. You can read now. You can get spirit energies. Dana, how long do you use it? No. But I feel the same way. Sometimes I feel like I'm the third wheel because I'm sitting there. I antagonize them. I don't know.
Because of the psychic development classes, you know,
yeah.
I know I'm much more sensitive to what's going on around me. I'm a lot more sensitive.
So you feel?
I can feel things now, you know, which I sort of wasn't aware of before, but now I can look. At the same time as somebody else, do you feel that? It's like the whole room, pressure change.
Yep.
Or you feel the temperatures change.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you're just getting more and more aware of it. And especially if I meant, you know, funny enough, Mercedes and I seem to be thinking on quite a number of things, which is kind of really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We will get the same information
at the same time in different ways.
In different ways.
It's really cool to be in a group.
It's kind of uncanny.
Yeah. With Dana, yeah. I really enjoy it.
And, even, you know, with the other class the other night, we sometimes read objects the same. You know,
yeah.
We get the same information, too, which is, you know. And I use you as a validation because you I think you're much more sure of yourself than I am.
I've just always been really sensitive to those spirit energies ever since I was little. So
yeah.
it's never shut off for me. I feel them all the time everywhere I go. So I don't know.
And I'm just sort of recently.
And you have strengths in places that I don't. So it's you know it just varies. But
yeah. Anyways, I think it's really an interesting kind of duel we've got going here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much my house had something in it? I don't know if it does or not. I think I've had a floating one go through one time. And that's the only time I can think of it. But Vince, your house.
Oh, I got it.
Well, tell us what you experienced there.
Oh, just the other day I saw an orb go to my daughter's room. In the daylight.
What was his name?
In the daylight.
Daylight.
What
really?
Was his name?
Oh, I don't
know.
Which
was Taylor.
Oh, Taylor, yeah.
Wow. Big one, little one?
It was a good size. It was about the size of your fist.
Really?
No kidding.
Wow. That's not the first time I've seen it.
And you saw that with your bare eyes.
Yeah. I've seen that in the living room. I've seen the shadows. And I've got pictures where a shadow would, like, black out the TV. See, the two sides, and there's a shadow.
Well, it's like a shadow we got on Diane that time. Right? That sort of covered her whole torso there.
And in the basement, I have a picture of one, he swears, it's someone stretched out like this. It's all in white. I have the back. I have another photo in the other room in the basement.
Is your house old?
58.
Wow.
And it was built on a farm.
But it doesn't have to be old. I mean, I guess because I had that thing in my house. My house was built in 93. You know, it scared, which is how I got involved in this whole thing anyway. Scared the crap out of me. And until, you know, and I just... That's how I got involved in it. It's like I had a visitation in the middle of the night by something that kept calling my name and waking me up, and then just jumped up, you know, was on the bed on top of me, and I thought I was going to die. You know?
Yeah.
And it happened like three nights in a row.
Yeah.
Just the weight of it. And then I asked a friend, she said, oh, just watch the ghost shows. You'll find out it's nothing.
Now, wait a second. Speaking of that.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be... I don't know if I should bring this up or not, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. There's supposed to be two, I don't know if they're demons or spirits or whatever. What is it called? Succubus? And there's another one that's... Incubus.
Yeah.
What's that? And could that have been something...
No.
Because
no.
I don't know what...
I know
what
energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, it's more like a demon energy.
Yeah.
Female.
Yeah.
Is it? But it's demon.
Succubus is the
demon. I think it's more demon.
Yeah.
So it's not
mine, I know what mine was. And it's like, because it felt like what it was. and it was to me it was like a young soldier from another era, maybe revolutionary time, that was passing through and looking for a place to stay. Or it was lonely. He was lonely, that's what it was. And I just, after the third night, he kept doing this, and he didn't say anything.
He did this three nights in a row?
Three nights in a row. And I would get up, and I would be
persistent,
shaking.
Little booger.
And I would just, I finally just said, I said, you just have to leave, you're scaring me. You know, and I said it very quietly and very nicely. I said, please, you have to leave, you're scaring me too much.
Did he hear?
I didn't see him.
Oh, you didn't
and
see
then
him.
He didn't come back after that?
Then he didn't come back after that.
My mom had an experience like that, and our house wasn't very old when we were living in Newton. I think it was built in the 80s, mm-hmm. like right before I was born, and then there was like a lumberjack looking man, and like my mom saw him full bodied, and his name was Ralph. She spoke to him, and he would come, and he scared her, and she told him in the kitchen one day, she tells the story to everybody, she goes, I saw him, and I said to him, Ralph, you're scaring me, and I need you to leave, and he never came back, she never saw him again.
Because that's one of the things we tell people when we teach the classes, first thing you do is ask them to leave, in a nice,
if you don't want
them. Firm, huh? You don't have to ask, but I mean, if it's something that's bothering you to ask them to leave.
Right.
Well, I might not have asked him to leave if I had known the man what I know now.
Yeah.
But
well,
I didn't see him.
That's
I didn't hear him.
You know, some people like that.
Oh, I heard him call my name.
You know, when they know.
I mean, yeah. Out loud.
I have a bunch of people floating around my apartment, and I'm not going to ask them to leave.
Yeah,
not
I don't.
Anything.
I know. Well, we know, though. Like, for other people, when we go to their houses, they're not sure what's there, and they're just uncomfortable with the...
Or their children are scared.
That we've told people to just say, listen, you can go anywhere you want, just stay out of my child's room, you know, because you're scaring them, blah, blah, blah. And we've had people that they've actually done that and it's worked,
mm-hmm.
you know. Maybe we should talk about some of the equipment actually that we use.
Okay.
So I know that we just talked about the voice recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the EMF detectors, which are something that reads the energy field that's around. I actually use the K2.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you have too? But
yeah,
yours is a little different.
Got the temperature gauge in it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not a big fan of it because it's just too noisy.
Yeah, yours makes
a regular K2 without any noise. You know,
that's
any temperature gauge is great because it just sits there and lights up.
Oh, yours makes a hell of a racket.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a real racket. I think I'm going to be retiring that shortly. Yeah. No,
well, with the K2, if they get close to it, it'll light up.
Right.
And then we use that, actually, when we're asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll even videotape it.
Yep.
You know, and if you're using a video camera, you definitely want the night vision on it because you won't see anything at all, you know,
yep.
or the infrared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
so,
get the lights for the infrared.
You can get these really tiny, cheap little infrared flashlights, and you can just duct tape it to your camera. Turn off the flash unit on your camera, and it works great.
Yeah, because you actually use your camera, right?
Well,
do you use your digital too?
I use my digital camera, and I use you flash, and I get stuff like that. But
do you videotape it your digital?
I have two videotape cameras. I've got a little one that actually works and pretty good in the dark. You know, I should use it more. Because I've gotten some amazing things. I wish that I had the move for that. You know, you can see the silk, but when you get to whatever's doing, it's doing the moving around the room, then you say, that's, I wish that I had this.
Well, the main pieces we use are the voice recorder, the video, the digital camera.
And the EMF detector.
The EMF detector, the K2. Ron uses a couple of different things, though.
And
yes, and we use our apps on our phones, our... Fantastic.
Those are fantastic, yeah. And they have a pretty good voice recorder on their phone, too.
Mm-hmm. Because we use the ghost radar, you know, and a lot of us get either similar words or we'll hear it on the EVP,
well,
too.
When I first downloaded the ghost radar app, because I have the same one that you do, Jackie, and I was a little skeptical about it, but then when we were in your house, in Caitlin's room, I saw those little girls standing against her wall, and there were four of them, and as soon as I said it, Dana's ghost radar said the word four.
Yes.
Exactly.
Cool.
I said it. I said there are a few little girls sitting against that wall, and it said four.
And
said
you
four.
Guys were in before us, and when we did it, when we were doing a back and forth session with them, I was going, how many are you? One, and there was nothing. And then two, I got all up to four, and it pinned it, remember? So then we know, okay, so then we were like, okay, there's four of you. So well, it was...
Those are weird kind of confirmations.
I think it's
David,
so cool.
David, I have that all the time. The first ghost investigation I was at in the store, the overnight one, I was with Dana and Diane.
Yeah.
In Jackie's room.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I was getting stuff on the pendulum, and whenever I was getting a yes, the K2 would pin, and Diane had the dowsing rods, and the dowsing rods would cross for yes every single time without fail.
And I was not using equipment that night, and I was just thinking in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were all getting
exactly the same answer.
Really cool.
And that was about the little girl whose family had burned up.
No, that was Joe.
In both rooms,
it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It was great.
Which brings us to another piece of equipment we use a lot, which is some of the group uses the pendulum. I haven't used the dowsing rods myself, but there are a few people. But in our, with our group, we've used the pendulum to actually confirm or validate what some of the others are getting.
I prefer to use the pendulum. I trust my intuitive energy, so I prefer to use that. And it's always confirmed. Mm-hmm. It always has been, so...
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting, especially when, like, if we ask a question and somebody's saying on their pendulum, oh, I'm getting a yes, and then you hear it on the voice recorder, like, that's, like, three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is the other thing, like, because our group uses a lot of more of the intuitive side, or there's a lot of people who are more sensitive.
The last piece of equipment we use is our intuition.
We work differently than other groups. With that, I mean, we use our equipment, but there's so much information we get where we get feelings or we sense something or we get the information told us. We're all like that. And it is, I know there are people who have been part of the group that were more not on that level. They were more all strict equipment and things like that. And that one of the things we tell people, even no matter what group they're in, if you're working with somebody who's more psychic or sensitive, you definitely don't want to get wrapped up in what everything they're getting to forget to use the equipment, because that was one of the things people were having a problem with. Because it is neat when somebody's saying, okay, see somebody standing over there, or they're telling me this, they're telling me that, and then they're like, really? And they're all excited, but then they forget to take a picture, or they forget to videotape, or they forget to put their recorder on. And then no matter what you're getting as a personal experience, you don't have anything to back it up or validate it, which is... You know, the hard thing with ghost hunting, there always has to be some kind of validation, especially for people who don't really believe. You know, they want to see that evidence.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just...
I've never really been spooked out except for the night that you and I were in the back room, Dana. And remember I was holding the pendulum?
Yeah.
And it was just quivering?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I thought my hand was pretty steady, but it was quivering. And we were asking questions, and it was just sort of like... it wasn't going back and forth like swinging. It was just sitting there shaking. And then you did it, and you have a pretty steady hand, and it was still doing, it was doing the same thing.
Right.
And I sat there and I was like, holy cow. Holy cow. What does that mean?
Well,
you know?
We were sitting in the portal.
Yeah, we were sitting in the portal. You're right, we were back there. And I'm sitting there saying, what makes it do that,
yeah.
Right? Now,
mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk about that?
That's energy, isn't it? Because that happens to me frequently. Like, when I have it before I even ask a question, from my energy, it will vibrate. Or
Your pendulum? Your pendulum, because what it is when you're...
Isn't it the spirit moving it?
What a pendulum... the way you get your information is you're getting the information from spirit, and it's being sent through your, you know, through you, and it's, you know, just through your body, through your system, and it goes through, and it's able to move the pendulum. It is not a spirit coming up and ding, ding, because if anybody mm-hmm. thinks the spirit's going to stand in front of that one pendulum and just keep hitting it, like, that's not how that works at all.
Really?
That's why they tell you to make sure your head is clear from everything when you're working with the pendulum. Like, in other words, because any place you're in or anything you're thinking is going to make it move. So if it's somebody who really wants it to say yes, like if you're using your pendulum to say, is he going to ask me out? And you really want it to be yes, it's going to be yes.
It's going to be yes.
So using a pendulum, the trick is to just pretty much dump everything. You know what I mean?
Your mind, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're great when we use them. We were talking to Spirit in the store during class at one time. We were all getting the same answer, which was cool.
All with the pendulum, yeah.
Yep. Which was amazing. I think that was great.
What's that movie where Quaddle said, "Open your mind."
Who said that?
He's saying it to
Total Recall.
Remember that? The Quaddle comes out of his stomach.
Oh, the Quaddle.
The little body, and the little face goes, and they're holding hands. He's going,
like,
"Open your mind."
Like a doll.
I thought it was really cool. That wasn't real. I can't help it. I like Arnold anytime. I think he's great. But it's just that, you know, you sit there and you talk about all these different things we use that we've done, and you get back to Go Something 101. What would you tell somebody, or what would you expect out of somebody on their first Go Something? What would you tell them and expect them to do?
Oh. The first thing I tell them is to not be afraid, because nobody can do this if they have any kind of fear. They will not have a good time. They won't enjoy themselves, and they'll be so preoccupied. You got to be nervous. For the most part, I think the people who have been interested in it have all been more, like, excited and about doing it or passionate than they've been afraid. But there have been a few people that were afraid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went through a few of the classes, and then the minute they got to the first investigation, they were out of here. You know what I mean? Because it's unnerving sometimes. You're in the pitch black. You're hearing sound. Because now you remember, everything tightened. Everything's more acute. And you're, like, hearing things that maybe normally you didn't before. And it is. I mean, one of the things we tell people is, if you get scared, is go back. We always have a home base. We're like, go back to home base. Do not run out screaming and yelling, because if there's homeowners there, you don't want them scared to death to be in their home. So, but the first thing we do is usually tell them to try to observe a lot, you know, the first time when they're doing their little, you know, mini investigation, is to, you know, kind of see, you know, sit back, see how everybody else is doing their thing, but to also, you know, have a little bit of interaction with it. So if it's, you know, do an EVP session, ask a couple questions just so you can see what it's, you know, how you get the feel for it. After one or two investigations, I feel people are pretty, they get more comfortable with it. They're not as, you know, unsure. And you learn that it's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been doing it for years, and there's still things that I'll learn. You know, this seems to work better, you know, if we do it this way.
Well, we do a public investigation one or two times a year, which usually is a public cemetery,
mm-hmm.
which is a really good beginning first ghost hunt to go on.
Yep.
I mean,
because
it's fun.
They're not by themselves.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's like...
I would definitely tell somebody to try something like that if it's in their area, because they can bring their camera and stuff, and that's the other thing, getting used to your camera.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you want to take a lot of pictures, because there's going to be two pictures out of those 50 that you might see something that you really feel is, you know, good. And you'll get used to how your camera works.
And
what
you're gonna
you know
be able
is
to do
nor,
it
what
low
is
light, too.
Yeah.
Or no light.
Yeah.
That's my biggest downfall right now is, you know, fussing with my camera in the dark. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Well, digitals are
doing
really
what
good.
What were your cameras?
Fussing.
Fussing.
Do you know fussing?
Yeah.
I know fussing. I just never heard anybody else say fussing.
I think
the digitals
are the best for picture. I mean, you can get, if you get a picture on a 35mm, then it's definitely a legit picture. But the digitals pick up so much, you know, and that's why we always tell people take three in a row, take three pictures in a row, because if it's in one and not in the other two,
you
then
know
you know.
There, yeah.
Yeah, because it helps you distinguish between pollen or you know, water or a bug.
Well, I take pictures in my bedroom a lot of times at night, and I'll go, like, all the corners. And then if I see something, I'll see which way it's going, and I'll follow it around the room. And I'll get Orton moving around the room.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do the three pictures in a row, it's there, it's not there.
You can really tell we're ghost hunters, and we're sitting here telling people that we... You know, talk to dead people before we go to sleep. Tell people not to come in our room. Take pictures. Take pictures out of our car. Take pictures at work.
Oh,
you know,
you
we
know
all do
it.
Put the ghost radar. That's what I do.
But you don't have to. I'll get in the grocery store
the parking
we
lot.
We do. I do the same thing.
And when people walk past my car, my ghost radar will go off with, like, and as soon as that person is far away from me, it stops.
Yeah, isn't that
neat? No, I was on a flight to Spokane, Washington last year, and I'm on the airplane, and I turned my ghost radar off.
There's
and the guy who's sitting
extra
next to
seats
me.
On the plane. They're sharing seats.
You know, somebody would walk by me, and then you get lips following. It's the strangest thing.
Oh my God!
Hey, Jackie, if somebody was really interested in doing ghost investigations, and they went out, they bought their equipment, and they found the house, and they just went for it, what would you tell them?
Make sure that they're able to go in that house, not to trespass.
Okay.
And that they're not alone.
Good.
Yeah, never want to go
alone. Well, they wouldn't
alone.
Be alone because the spirits would be there.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But
you never want to do it alone.
It doesn't have to be at night, too. You can go to a cemetery in the daytime.
Oh, we got great stuff at the battleground, you know,
during
the day.
In fact, I went through the Milford Cemetery with Vera in the afternoon. And it was like, you know, we didn't even have our equipment with us, but we were picking up things. I had my little ghost radar on my camera. That's all I had with me that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like telling me stuff. We'd drive around the corner. There it is. I remember seeing the word Smith popped up on my, I mean, God, name, right? You're in a freaking cemetery. I mean, how many people are named Smith? But you know what?
At least a couple.
It came up Smith.
A couple thousand.
5 seconds later, we turned the corner. The first cemetery stone right there is Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of me.
Yeah.
It was just, we said, oh, look at that.
I use my recorder a lot. Like, there's times where I'll just be like, I know there's something trying to talk, or I'm not getting all the information, I'll be just put my recorder on. And then I laugh because I'm like, who, you know, because there's one on the phone, too, which is pretty good. It's pretty sensitive on the iPhone. And there's sometimes at night where, and obviously we did validate that there is a Harry in my room who is extremely communicative and has a lot, yes, but he has a lot to say. And I do, you know, when you know somebody's staring at you when your eyes are closed, and I don't even open my eyes now because I know, because now I call him by name, so I'll be like, Harry, I know you're standing next to the bed because I can feel you, and I'm not opening my eyes because then I'm not going to go back to sleep, so could you please just let me sleep tonight? I'm really tired, and it's gone, and he's gone. So being able to kind of communicate with them where they're, and that's on a good level, it's just that they don't know when, you know, well, I want to talk. I'm like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
In my apartment, it always happens in the middle of the night. I go to the bathroom, I'm walking back to my room, and I feel it's a female walking behind me. And they always want to get into my room because they know I can talk to them. And I sound like a crazy person, but I talk to them in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're,
I have conversations with them, and I just tell them no. And they're like, but I want you.
They're still getting it.
No, I'm trying to sleep.
Is that the
you're
one from the bathroom that they called the
Catherine, the, I think they named her?
The other thing?
Oh.
It might be her. I mean, that's what I was just getting.
Oh, she yelled obscenities in my bathroom. We have it on tape. For anyone who's wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah. She yelled not nice things in a not nice tone.
But she couldn't have been talking to me or about me.
No.
She wanted to talk to me all the time. So.
She just wasn't happy with somebody in particular.
Okay, back to 101.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody is going to do an investigation, and they're brand new. And they have somebody else that's going to go with them, help them with their equipment and everything. Should they do anything before they go in and when they come
protect
out,
themselves,
or should they do
just
anything
like we
with,
do?
With the,
one of the things we do is we protect ourselves every time. We choose to do the St. Michael prayer protection. And, you know, we do sage. We sage afterwards also. But, you know, we also bring something. Most of us either have something with us or wear something or have something in particular that we feel is our safe thing that protects us. A lot of us have stones.
Okay, if somebody's new, what do you mean by you sage?
Oh, they don't know what sage is?
Yeah, I didn't know what
sage
is.
It's an herb that the Native Americans used, a plant.
You could buy it. You just light it and use the smoke as a purifier.
It's just good for negative energy.
Yeah,
it keeps the negative energy away, and it takes any type of negative energies that are on you. So it's contrary to belief, it is not bad to sage before you. I've heard people say, I don't sage before I go on an investigation because I want stuff to come to me. That's not what it does when you do it then. That's taking any junk you have out so that you can get all your cleansing yourself.
Right.
So you can get all your information. When we do it at the end, it's to cleanse ourselves again to get any junk off. So
I think that the way you're bringing this up, it's important to remember that this is, you got to take it seriously. It's not a circus act, you know. You have to be respectful of it. You'll get much better results. It's not like a party. You know, you can't treat it like a party and say, you know, let's all go chase ghosts. You know, I don't think it's like that at all.
That's a very good point. So before you go on the hunt, okay, the investigation, whatever you want to call it, let's say you've got a group of people and you guys decide you want to go out and eat before you go. I mean, you could always go and eat afterwards, right? But let's say you're going beforehand to eat. Would there be anything that you should eat or be careful with what you eat before you go on the investigation?
I don't think you should drink alcohol.
No alcohol.
And you don't want to smoke or anything on the investigation either because it'll take evidence because, you know, in pictures and stuff. No beans.
No broccoli.
No beans. No eggplant parm.
No medication.
That's Mark's here.
That's going to put your head out.
Yeah,
being,
that's true. Definitely.
There.
You don't want to take any type of anything. Now, I'm even, I know there's people that say not to take even like Benadryl or anything like that because you'll be, you know, it's difficult because everybody reacts differently, but if you're somebody using more of your psychic end or the sensitive part, you definitely don't want to have anything like that in the way. And we're taught you're supposed to eat healthier, but we totally believe on you need to be not hungry when you go on an investigation. Because your stomach growls, it makes noises, and then you're preoccupied, too. So you don't want to do that. Drink a lot of water. We always do now. We always eat before we go. You know, and we used to eat after.
What about perfume, deodorant,
mouthwash? Well, yes, please use deodorant. I did that. I say that story every time. I've told people not to wear colognes and stinky things, you know, in case a spirit comes down and has a smell, and somebody decided to come on a ghost hunt in the middle of August with no deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not pleasant. It was a very long car ride with no air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mean not to wear deodorant, but now I'm very careful. I'm very careful. I didn't mean to say not to wear deodorant, you know, and that person didn't wear deodorant. And so the next time before we went, I said, oh, by the way, I just want to let everybody know, just in case you misunderstood, please wear deodorant on the investigation.
The spirit must have liked onion soup.
Now, let's say you finish up, and everything's great. You have no clue. You just know that you did your investigation. Now, you're finished with the evening. You sage yourself. Pour holy water over your head, whatever you need to do. You say your prayers. And you go home. Now what?
That we're usually up for a couple of hours.
Okay, usually you're a little excited.
Yeah.
If you think you got something.
Well, and then there are some people that stay up all night and they're already going through their evidence.
Exactly.
And that's wrong.
Exactly.
Which is why he's very efficient.
The evidence people.
Yeah.
Just
well, the biggest thing you want to do is make sure, you know, there are programs to do your, you know, go through to help with your evidence and stuff like that, but you want to go through your evidence and see what you got. And a lot of people, they can't wait because they're excited. And it's good to kind of remember or have it written down when you thought you heard something or when there was something in particular. A lot of times if you go back to that point, especially on your voice recorders, you'll hear that confirmation. That's why when I'm doing when we're doing our investigation and I'm picking something up, I'll say, I hear, or they're saying yes, or I'm hearing their name or blah, blah, and then I'll say what it is because that way if it's on the recorder, there's that validation. You know, or even like we tell people if you feel like you're getting a headache or you feel like you're feeling sick, say it out loud.
Now, let's say you've got a recorder, you've got your K2 meter, you've got everything else, everything's going good, and now you've got your recording on your recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a better way to listen to it than just playing it back on your recorder?
Well, I know there's programs for that.
Oh,
that would be Dana's department.
Dana. about that?
Well, it's good to load it up on your computer and listen to it that way with a headset on.
With a headset?
So, yeah, with
okay.
a headset. So you can, that way you can zero in on it. And sometimes you can see it on the programs. It shows up the, you know, the fluctuations in the audio. And you can pick out what the human voice and what sort of easier to find with this stuff.
The background.
Okay, now this is just for my own personal information. How loud should you turn the volume up when you have your headset on? Because
it's comfortable.
I've pretty much blown my eardrums out when somebody drops in the room or something.
I go as loud as I can take it, but that's so you can hear all of them.
Yeah, that I do too, but it's hard sometimes because when someone talks, it's like... It is, but you don't realize it, even though we're not talking that loud during it, when you're listening back, because that's the thing people don't realize. The recorders are so sensitive. That's why I was saying don't, when you're carrying it, make sure it's not brushing on something. And this is from our own personal,
right.
You know, I've even had my camera just knocking up, barely, and it sounds like, you know, and so the littlest thing. You know, that's what's great about them. That's why they pick up the voices like they do, because they are so sensitive.
I got one last question. Let's say you had cameras, you had video, you had sound, and you get home and you look through all your stuff, and you've got some phenomenal evidence. Would you immediately just throw it out on Facebook?
No.
Okay, good. Why?
We throw it out to each other.
There you go. And then?
And then we... make sure if it goes up on our website, it's copyrighted and everything else, so nobody
right.
can steal it.
Right. The whole idea here is that
you protect
your
stuff.
You went through all that work
yeah.
to get what you need for you or your group. You don't just throw it out there, because I've seen some things out on the internet that I thought were phenomenal, but I just didn't understand why they put it out there for everybody to just take and copy
mm-hmm.
and say this. I saw one on a battlefield down in Gettysburg. And there was a car parked on the side of the road. Here was, like, at night. And I don't know if you saw a couple of cannons on the right side. And the guy's taking a picture out the front of his car with his video camera. And he's got the night vision on. And all of a sudden, you see a full figure of somebody. It looks like somebody. There's nothing there, you know, not a body. But it's a full figure of a spirit walking by the cannons. And you sit there, and right now, the hair standing on my arms. Because when you look at it, I'm sitting there going, holy cow. If you really got that, why are you just throwing it out there for the heck of it?
Well, what are you
going
to do with it then?
Well, if they're in a group, I would keep it in the group's collection and copyright it the whole bit.
Well,
yeah.
you can copyright whatever you want, but if you want it to be as part of your public evidence,
well,
then
I mean,
you're
yeah,
not
I mean,
going to be
I
able
would,
to stop people from...
If
yes.
we
no,
if
I would
we
want
have stuff
to
we
know who collected it
yeah
too.
If we have stuff we want people to see though, I can see them wanting to put that out there because it was such a great
yeah.
catch. I mean, we would have to find a way where it is our, you know,
it's our property.
I mean that it's just but,
you no, yeah you don't want
there
to
you
do
go.
That. It's too, no, you can't do that.
You can't watermark it.
Well, you can, but it's so subtle, you know. I mean, you can't stop people from stealing
it's,
stuff on the
it's
internet.
Like,
yeah.
It's like sharing a video.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
once you decide, okay, you know, this is something I got and I want people to see it, yes, because I think for the most part when people do that, it's, yeah, this really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I experienced this. So it's more like for that,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I want to share that,
yeah.
yes, this does exist.
Yeah, I think it's a sharing page. You're not going to make $1 million on it, you know. So it's like...
Oh, okay. Sure.
But if it's part of your public record for your group,
it'll yeah.
then it's always part of your public mm-hmm. record. It's right there.
You just want to make sure it is when you have, like, for most of the
yeah.
more professional groups, they do have their own website. They do have their stuff,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
where
I mean,
it's considered
their
property.
You can take stuff off their website.
So you can take then that and put it out and then use it, but it'll always be part of your,
yeah.
you know, your information.
The end.
So we did have a great Ghost Hunting 101 episode.
Yeah, that was terrific.
And we're definitely going to do more with this again because there's so much to talk about with ghost hunting. So, and we only covered like one small part.
We have to do ghost hunting now.
102.
101 and
second level.
Yep, second level. See how many people graduate.
Then we'll go up to 1,001.
Yeah, level, you know.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
So
we'll join us next week.
Yeah. same time, same,
same
channel.
Same place. Yeah.
Right?
So,
same
yep.
channel. Right? So?
Yep. So, we're saying goodbye from Jackie.
Charlie.
Mercedes.
A very late Mark.
Dana.
Okay. See everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Woo.